Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hello and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Mads. Oh, Scout. Just so you know, we were on Green Room, which if you want to... Every Thursday, we do a live podcast on Spotify's Green Room at 3 p.m. PST, and Scout impersonated me, and it was very good. Your energy levels were unparalleled. I've never seen them like that before. So why don't you, can you do it for the class?
Yeah, sure, but I was really on like riding a coattail of high energy, and you better believe I crashed later. You better believe I went.
Okay, ready, go.
Oh, gee, well, geez, I'm just trying to give some fucking context to my day yesterday. Okay, ready? Let me embody the Mads, and here we go. Hello, and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Maddie Rose. Oh, fuck, you can put me on the spot. Okay. Now I'm embarrassed. I didn't do it right.
That was good, though. The energy was there. The intent was there.
Please don't judge me. That was not my best move. And
This is kind of like a mantra. This is a positive affirmation. If you are ever feeling low, look at yourself in the mirror and take a big breath.
Hello, and welcome back to OK Sis Podcast. My name is Madeline Rosemayo.
You just like take a deep breath and be like, hello, welcome back to OK Sis.
Or you just talk like you're auctioneering shit off constantly, because that's the vibe.
Exactly. That's the vibe. Auctioneer vibes only.
Auctioneer vibes only. Said no one ever. Said no one ever.
How are you, Scout? Wait, who are you?
Who am I? Oh, who am I? Hi, sisters. I'm Scout.
A deep philosophical question for your morning.
That's what I thought. I was like, who am I today? Who am I showing up as today? Because that's what I'm asking myself in my meditations these days. Hi, sisters. I am Scout Sophia Sobel. I am the older sister of Mads by 3 years. And that's me. That's my
Don't
only,
throw that in there.
That's really my only defining title here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. You exist as my sister.
Yeah, I know.
Do you have main character energy?
Oh, 100%. So I was actually sitting with some of my friends and they were talking about the fact that they've never felt like the main character ever. And I was like, oh, I've always fucking been the main character. Like that is something I can confidently say. Like at the age of 5, I was like, this is my world and I'm living in it. And I want the best for mm-hmm. me. I want the most for me. I deserve the most. I'm going to create the most. I have never not been the main character.
Wow. That is very surprising because you seem, I think definitely lately you have been the main character the past couple of years, but I didn't know that this has been a mindset that you have embodied since 5 years old.
I mean, I've definitely obviously had, due to the mental illness, moments where I was disempowered, but there was never a part of me, you know, I always say my solar plexus chakra, which is the personal power chakra, it's never weak. Like it is always on fire. It always knows. I've always had a lot of self-worth and felt as if, like I've never looked really at other people and been and asked, you know, why them and not me, or that could never be me. I've always asked, like, why wouldn't that be me? Like, if they can do it, I can do it too. And even watching the Oscars as a young girl, I don't know why it was so impressionable to me, but I would sit there and I would say, one day I'm going to be there and get an Oscar. And not that that is my life path or, you know, what I'm interested in doing now, but it was the fact that I sat there.
And also, like, you have zero acting skills.
No, I have a lot of acting skills. I did theater just like you did, bitch.
Yeah, but I succeeded. And
no, because you were a better singer. I was told I had acting skills.
Damn straight. Damn straight.
What?
Damn what?
Okay, I'm moving on. So the point is that I remember so vividly thinking as a young girl that I could do that. And so I think that the way my mind worked, how I would dream up these potential big, beautiful, crazy, expansive plans for me, mm-hmm. that's always, I think, translated into this main character energy. I don't think I've ever had, personally, that's not been where I've had to work on. We know there's a lot of other places, but yeah. I've never had to work on like embodying that or transitioning from non-main character to main character.
Okay, yeah. So the solar plexus is activated. It's firing up. It's revving up, if you will. Do you think that you have big dick energy?
No.
Okay.
You do.
So what do you think the difference is between big dick energy and main character energy?
I think big dick energy is more like...
confidence?
It's more, I think, a loud personality, someone mm-hmm. who walks into the room and commands the room, someone who is a little bit more outgoing and energetic. And then I think main character, like big dick energy to me is outward, and then big main character energy is inward, if that makes sense.
Wow. Okay, this is great. This is great. We just defined these two energetic fields, and I think we need to make an Instagram definition post.
I was going to say, are you a scout? It's not are you a scout or are you a Maddie? It's a do you have main character energy or do you have big dick energy?
Okay. And talking about two women who have a combination of both of those things.
Seriously.
Seriously. We interviewed the founders of Omsom, the sisters, Vanessa and Kim. They were such a delight. Also, they are giving us a discount for Omsom. So all you sisters have got to go to omsom.com and use code OKSIS10. They are basically little Asian cuisine packets, and they make it super, super easy and accessible to make Asian dishes with ease and deliciousness. And if I can do it, sisters, then you can do it. Like,
yeah, it's really the only way Mads knows how to cook. But I love it because my favorite one in their packets is the Japanese packet.
Yes.
They also have, they have a bunch of other different Asian flavors, but it's really easy to put on salmon, to put on chicken, noodles, to put on rice, like whatever it is, you can literally just add the seasoning and it creates a delectable, amazing meal. And as we all know, as the chef of the podcast,
resident
if
chef,
it's Mads approved, you know that this shit works.
Then you know. You know, and also their branding is impeccable.
Do you think that we should give somebody all of our episodes and have them pull out every time we say the branding is impeccable and make a mashup of just those words?
100%. It'll be 3 hours long.
It'll be 3 hours long. Anyway, sisters, you're going to love these sisters. We talked about obviously building Omsom. We talked about how they partner with incredible chefs and some kind of like celebrity people, Chrissy Teigen's mom, all the things. But we also really talk about what entrepreneurship has invited them into in the personal development game. We talk about scarcity. We talk about generational scarcity, generational trauma, all of the things. You know, we go all over the place. You know, we go wide, deep, shallow, all the things. So enjoy.
Oh, wide, deep, and shallow.
I was just like trying to think like right, left, up, down, all around.
In the shallow.
Wow. Bring that song back, man. That was
in
powerful.
In the shallow. Yeah.
Okay. And with that, sisters, welcome the co-founders of Omsom. The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me, which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com spelled Nutrafol.com promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com promo code OKSIS. Hello, sisters. Why are you in different locations? Are you, well, you don't live together.
Why are we in different locations?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, why don't you guys live together?
Why aren't you connected at the hip?
Are you guys both in New York?
Yes, we are both.
Amazing.
I'm in Manhattan and Kim's in Brooklyn.
Got it. Okay, we're going to jump right in. First of all, thank you both for being here. We are huge fans of the brand, of what you guys have built. Obviously, we have this kinship because we're sisters building things together. So we feel really connected to your story and how you've, you know, become business partners with each other. So the first thing we want to talk about is, what the fuck is OMSOM? We want to hear your like PR answer, and then we want to hear your more non-PR answer.
Ooh, great question. Do you want me to start, Vanessa? You want, or do you, how do we want to break this down?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So I guess I'll give the PR answer. So OMSOM is a proud and loud Asian food brand started by myself and Vanessa. We're both sisters and daughters of refugees. We grew up in Boston. These little packets that are pantry shortcuts to really delicious Asian dishes. So all you do is rip, pour, and fire up with your fave protein and veggies, and you have a restaurant quality Asian dish in under 30 minutes.
I can vouch for this. I am a terrible cook, notoriously.
No, it's not that you're a terrible cook. It's that you just have this complete inability to try.
I'm lazy.
You've never even tried.
Okay.
I don't try. But OMSOM is literally my best friend. I made the spicy bulgogi chicken as well as the one for the salmon, and just delectable. Literally easier than you think. Can just, exactly what you just said, pour it on the protein and the veggies and you have the most perfect meal. So thank you. I kind of say it democratizes Asian cooking. Do you guys, does that resonate with you, or is that weird to say? Just because I feel like it helps the accessibility to these types of flavors and makes it available to everyone to incorporate into everyday dishes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think we've ever used that term specifically. Like, I think so much of what we do is about honoring and centering Asian American communities and flavors first and foremost, without dilution, without compromise. But I think the natural kind of perk of the product format does kind of make it really accessible, right? And I think we're trying not to do accessibility at the sake of proud and loud. You know, like, I really think Vanessa talks about this all the time, like cultural integrity is like the most important to us. And you see that in our packaging, you see that in how we craft our products and the way that we source ingredients, the way that we tell stories on our content, like all of that, I think, is still honoring our core mission while hopefully making it easier to bring some of these flavors into your own home.
Yeah, because I've been cooking, like, I just throw a bunch of shit in to stuff. And I always try to cook this. I used to, before I use your packets now, I used to cook this like udon noodle. And then I put a little bit of sesame oil and a little bit of soy sauce and sesame seeds and green onions and garlics and shallots. And I just was like, let me just throw it all in there. And it tasted good, but the authentic combination of what you guys can create is going to bring that home, and does bring that home way more than what I can kind of do with my limited knowledge of the ingredients.
I don't know. That sounds pretty legit.
Like thanks.
Sesame, soy, garlic.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Thanks. My husband thinks so too.
That's a classic combo.
Okay, so going back to the non-PR answer, the reason we said this is both Scout and I are entrepreneurs. We're building things outside of OKSIS businesses on our own. And we talk a lot about the struggles and the realness of being an entrepreneur and starting something. So the more non-PR answer is like, how are you doing? Like, you said a year and a half, you're in the trenches. It's so fresh. It's so new. Just from a mindset and temperament perspective, like, how are you guys?
Highs and lows. Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's like, it's all the things at once. Like, that's how I characterize this whole journey is like, on one hand, you're like, look at what we've accomplished. On the other hand, you're like, there's so much we need to solve, right? And then on one hand, you're like, I'm so, like, I feel so fulfilled and energized working on something that's aligned with my personal values. And then at the same time, you're like, I deal with crippling fear of every single day. You know, like, it's all the things at once. And it's just living with it all is what it feels like to me is like, and figuring out what you want to focus on for the day. Like, do you feel like sitting in that fear today? Or do you feel like kind of like charging through and looking at or taking stock of everything you've accomplished and wanting to continue to build on it?
And yeah, for me, I would also characterize it as like super whiplashy of like highs and lows, but it's not like high weeks and low weeks. It's like high hour, low hour, like just knowing that like every day is going to be this of like, oh my God, a win, but oh no, we got this news. But then like this, and you know, it's kind of like learning to just be, you know, down to ride all of those waves, like in the span of a day.
What do you guys do, or where do you go to, whether it's a mindset tool or maybe it's calling each other crying when that fear settles in or when the low comes in? Because I feel like when in entrepreneurship, I'm a big proponent of celebrating the small wins, because we can all celebrate the big wins all day long. And sometimes we don't even internalize those enough, but it's those spectrums that I feel like we need so much help on. So what do you guys do when fear comes in, when scarcity comes in, when the low comes in? What is your go-to to ride the fuck out of that wave?
Ooh. So a couple of things. Well, one, we're so lucky we have each other, and I think in general, Kim is somebody with a lot of conviction and a really strong connection to her intuition. So I feel super lucky to have her, because I am a little bit different. I'm much more like focused on like evidence of success, or like I look for that versus being like, what do I feel in my gut, right? So I rely on Kim a lot as my sister and co-founder. Besides that, I have a whole ass support network that like I could not live without. Like, I have a therapist, I have an executive coach, we have an advisor, and I lean on all three of them regularly. And I think founders like should not be hesitant to get that support early on in the journey. And then beyond that, I am actively working on building a skill set around self-soothing. It's new to me, but I'm really trying to work on it. So journaling, like logging off, meditating, finding like more mindless activities to just like decompress. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what works for me, and that's very much a work in progress.
Do you guys go to therapy together?
No.
Do you go to coaching together?
No.
Because Mads and I do OK Sis together, okay, right? It's like one thing to do a podcast where you talk with your sister every day and like whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm someone that's pretty adamant that I will never have a co-founder. I will never have a business partner in a larger capacity than this. This is as partnery as this shit gets for me. I can imagine that if me and Mads did an actual like if our full-time business was together, because we have other things that we do, if our full-time business was together, like our full livelihood situation was together, I can see us probably needing to go to therapy together as sisters. So me and Mads always say that because we're sisters, it can come out really quickly and we can move on, but it can also come out with no necessarily, like, I don't package it nice sometimes. And so it can sting a little bit. It can just go straight to the gut. And so in that, I think there's a lot of communication stuff that comes up that is so valuable, you know, not only in sisterhood, but also in business. So how do you guys navigate the communication between the two of you to be on the same page, to be co-founders together? And what does that look like?
Yeah, those are all things we've learned the hard way.
Oh my God. I know. And what you characterize as like a best case scenario. The worst case scenario is like you're feeling triggered and cornered and defensive, and you like purposely push the buttons that you know are there because you're the sister, you know? So like that's even like the worst end of the spectrum on like how you can show up in this relationship. It's super hard. We've never done any like kind of founder coaching or therapy yet. I mean, that's definitely not off the table. I think the beginning for us was a lot of us working through stuff together. Like, we got it all out on the table. Like, what's the petty shit from when we were like kids that came, or teenagers rather, like you know, what are our biggest fears? How are we afraid of letting each other down? We found like that was the crux of a lot of our issues, was like, we were so afraid of letting each other down. And like, we had to talk through that. And it took a ton of vulnerability. It took a lot of honesty and introspection and like admitting embarrassing things that I never wanted to tell Kim. And so that work that we did up front has put us in, I think, in a really great place in terms of working together. But there were definitely rocky parts, and you know, I'm sure this will continue to evolve. I don't know, Kim, what do you think?
Yeah, it feels like the work is done on like in a small way on a day-to-day basis. Like I think Vanessa and I have gotten a lot better of just like checking in with each other. We did like a co-founder retreat earlier this year that I think was just helpful to remind us of our relationship outside of OMSOM and like our actual friendship and sisterhood. We do these bi-weekly meetings and check-ins called whetstones. They're called whetstones because like we sharpen each other in it, but it's really just like, hey, I kind of felt some type of way when you said XYZ. Did you think about that? And it's like, oh my gosh, I totally, you know, didn't even think about that. And it's really about kind of trying to be communicative on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to like what we used to do, which is like, be quiet, wait until a breaking point, and then everything implodes and we're yelling at each other and we're just, you know, just stressed and frustrated for a plethora of reasons. Instead of kind of like letting it, you know, boil over in that way, it's more just like, hey, gut check, that wasn't really fun for me, you know, and then maybe there's a little bit of an ego flare for a minute, but then we kind of get over it and move on. I think we've gotten just a lot better at that sort of kind of small daily communication.
Yeah, it's like a constant surveillance and check in with one another. I think that's so powerful that you guys make time for that. I think a lot of founders, I have a co-founder and we're friends first and then founders second, basically. And there are, you know, I kind of implode just because I'm, you know, I'm myself, but it's so interesting that you guys like really carve out time, not to talk about business, not to, you know, just to literally be like, yo, where could we have done better this week? And I think that is, it's going to, in the long term, really, really affect the work, the product, the company, and the success and scalability of it. I want to talk about the brand because, you know, we don't bring on founders that don't have, you know, cute branding, because that's just like a pillar of OKSYS. So it is so happy. It is so happy. I love the word you guys use, rambunctious. I completely feel that. Obviously, your personalities come through extremely well, and there's this amazing energy that comes with it. I also am building an app that has like very bright colors. Like both of us, Scout and I, are very like neutral palette, as you can see. Like we're just like neutral. But then in Camber, there's this excitement that I can kind of come out and be completely silly. So my question, though, is as a forward-facing founder, how do you balance, you know, being silly and out there and rambunctious and fun? Like, Kim, I saw your, you know, reels that you did where you're like, I'm fucking hungover. All right, let's make OMSOM, like pork, whatever. And I was just dying because that is so amazing. It's you're bringing yourself to the customers. You're really being authentic. And how do you balance that, though? Because you guys are so out there and silly, but then obviously are running a successful business and have to, and this is something I struggle with.
Same.
I think that they're, what?
Same. I struggle with it so hard, especially because like, okay, sis, you know, I'm talking about reverse cowgirl, you know, who knows what I'm talking about. And then, you know, you go to business the next day. How do we as women hold both?
Yeah.
Oh, we talk about this all the time. I think one of the things I'm so grateful for is that at its very core, OMSOM's ethos encourages us to be ourselves. Like that is actually a huge part of what it means to be proud and loud in the way that OMSOM supports and like encourages and like lives every day. And so this whole, like honestly, this journey of building OMSOM with Kim has been a huge journey of me stepping into who I really am, what I actually believe and care about, being much more vocal and true to myself in all aspects, like literally even in dating, like it has impacted, building OMSOM has impacted my dating life because now I go into dates and I'm like, I'm just going to be exactly who I am. And if I can visibly see that's turning them off, like, great, goodbye. Like, you know, maybe we'll follow each other on Instagram, but like, that's it. And so I've actually found that like, because OMSOM stands for what it stands for, it's given us so much free rein to live our truths out in a public way as founders and have that not be in conflict with or antithetical to like being a great, you know, leader and founder.
I talk often about how Omsom is like the company of my dreams, and that seems so kind of like woo-woo in some ways, but I truly believe that we are building kind of the change that we want to see in the world. And I think a big part of that is really reframing what it means to be a founder, what it means to build a business that is true to your values. Like, I really see Omsom as an authentic expression of Vanessa and I as founders, like, and what we care about. And I think that shows through our activism, that shows through the conversations that we want to push on our content. It bleeds through to how we build the business and how we partner with the folks that we do and compensate them equitably. Like, all of that is kind of under this like proud and loud North Star. And for me as an individual, like having the creative freedom to like build Omsom's brand has also really shown me like, oh, there are whole parts of myself that like I haven't expressed publicly, and it's a joy for me to express publicly. So like, why wouldn't I kind of, you know, take this opportunity to also, you know, carve out that brand for myself. So on my own personal platform, I talk a lot about sex positivity and BDSM and kink and fetish and dating and things that I have found to be instrumental to my own personal growth that also frankly, like fall under this proud and loud umbrella that we're building. And I think ultimately, right, like the mission is the multitudes within Asian stories. And I think a big part of that is how us as Asian women, Southeast Asian women, women of color, a queer woman, how do we show up in the world? Like that is all fair, you know, game and like ground for us to kind of play within. So it's truly such a privilege. And that is something we have to acknowledge, right? That like as founders, as entrepreneurs, business owners, this is absolutely a privilege for us to be expressing ourselves, to be true to ourselves in, on these platforms in these ways, because there are tons of folks who are not given that same amount of room. And so I almost feel like it's a responsibility because I have this privilege to do what we do publicly, because I don't know, I think it's a cool way for us to show yet another way that an Asian woman can look and sound and be like online.
If you could imagine 5, 10, 15 years from now, the perfect barriers or societal constructs or limitations that women, female founders have, how would you want those to explode, implode, completely break free so that others can feel the exact same way? Like for me, for example, my biggest thing at my agency and kind of taking the way business is traditionally done and realizing that we can recreate this paradigm. We can recreate what it means to work at a company. We can recreate what business looks like every day. You can talk about sex positivity on the internet and be a really, really fucking great CEO and co-founder at the same time, right? For me, it's I want to create autonomy in my employees to make sure that they feel like they have control over their days and their destinies versus feeling like they have to be regimented into like this 9-to-5 box necessarily. What is something that you want to see just wash away for those that doesn't serve? And what new do you want to bring into the business space for female-founded companies?
I think Vanessa talks about this a lot, but I think something that plagues a lot of underrepresented communities, not just women, but this idea of like internalized scarcity informing a lot of our decisions. And like, I knew this kind of scarcity abundance, like I had known of these concepts in a very abstract sense and was like, yeah, oh yeah. But then it wasn't until I started the business, started managing, started hiring, like, you know, Vanessa and I making product decisions, budget decisions, that I was like, oh my gosh, this scarcity of us being women, women of color, queer women, daughters of immigrants and refugees, like it is coded into our DNA and affects so much of how we make decisions. Where someone might be like, hey, we got to spend to grow. I think for a hard learned lesson for Vanessa and I were like, oh, well, like money is really tight. And, you know, like, you know, should we just kind of hold things close to our chest and hold this budget close? Because who knows, optionality is important. And we found that sometimes that sort of scarcity minded thinking can totally like limit you. And that's not just with money, but that's even, you know, in like how we build out the team, how we even show up as individuals of like, do we want to kind of show all of us? Might an investor think, you know, it's sus that I'm talking about sex on Instagram? You know, like, there's a lot of that sort of thinking that can that informs our decisions. And I just would love to see a future where we're reframing around like what could be, like instead of being like, oh, how can we fit into this existing world? It's like, what if we created a whole ass new world where founders, there are tons of other founders that are women and women of color, and there are tons of other founders who are queer. And we fundamentally think about fundraising, building a company, team building a totally different way. And a way that perhaps is more representative of like the real world and is more inclusive. Vanessa, do you have any thoughts?
No, I mean, what you said is, yeah, something I think about literally all the time. And I mean, to like bring that example to life, the specific one around like money scarcity, right? Like how that plays out as a founder is, are you playing to win? Are you playing to not lose? And I feel like sometimes with the money scarcity that we grew up around as daughters of refugees, we just want to play not to lose. We're like, okay, if we don't run out of money, like, you know, capital, we're like, we're not going to die. And like, that's not how you win as a company. You have to make bets. And I even remember a conversation I had with a mentor when we were talking about taking bets on hires. And I was like, I don't know, like, you know, could really increase our burn, decrease our runway. And he was like, oh, like, well, don't be cheap about it. And I was like, well, you fundamentally misunderstand where I'm coming from. Not trying to be cheap. I am trying not to squander the investor's money, you know, and like in the same way that growing up, our parents were like, save, save, save. Like, you know, that's going to be how you like survive, like this idea of survivorship, right? Versus like, what does it look like to thrive? It's the same idea. And as a founder, like how you run the business and like what you define as the shape of the business can dictate your chances of succeeding. And so it has very real effects, I think, on the trajectory of the company. And so, yeah, we're trying to question and unlearn things at every turn, it feels like.
Oh my God.
My heart is like beating because this is, you guys are pushing boundaries that no longer serve anyone. I mean, you guys are emblems of what a diverse background, what a person who's not a white male in a finance, but like you, and you could be successful. Like that is the biggest takeaway here, is that the boundaries need to be completely erased, need to be pushed, need to be risked against. And I just want to acknowledge just how incredibly brave you both are for taking that.
Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah.
Not only the boundaries of that, but I've been doing a lot of work specifically this week. I joined, I don't know if you know Tori Washington, she's this wealth embodiment coach, but she also really talks about ancestral wealth trauma. So taking on the, as you said, it's like in the DNA, taking on your grandpa's or grandma's scarcity, who, you know, passed it down to your mom, who passed it down to you. The money stories that we grew up with are not just from our parents, they're generational. They go back and back and back and back, right? And so I feel as if this generation, specifically of women, are here to break those ancestral and generational limiting beliefs around money and wealth and what we are capable of doing here. And so I've really been in the presence. Tori Washington is a woman of color. She serves women of color specifically. And I'm just like riding her fucking coattails. I'm just like there for the good stuff, right? And this is a question that I think goes beyond just, you know, why do I feel scarce? Oh, it's because my mom told me to save all the time. No, it goes back. It goes back into real ancestral trauma. And so one, what you're doing forward is really great, but the stuff you're correcting backwards is awesome too.
I was going to say, it doesn't serve us to play small and to operate from a place of low self-worth. It's really interesting you say that, Scout. And I want to talk more about what you're learning, because it's interesting. I know you're like blown away, because our dad immigrated from Egypt and he was kicked out for being Jewish. And it's really interesting because I guess I never related to the immigrant story, because I just, you know, we lived in Southern California. He, you know, completely rags to riches. I was unaware. And again, it's a complete privilege, but it was interesting. Scout told me the other day, she's like, our dad is an immigrant. Like,
we're first generation American, and it is an identity that we have not even like talked about or touched. So anyways.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But anyways, it goes back to the money. And I've also been uncovering stuff like that where, you know, he is very protective over money, of course. And it's just an interesting thing that lingers in your day to day and just your ability, even work and what work looks like, what it can be. There's all these conditionings that you either have to unlearn, but then also cherish and understand that they are important. Obviously, it brought you to where you are and makes you up. I don't even know what the question is, but love that. Love that. Okay, let's go into products. Let's go into the flavors and everything and really talk about what you guys are cooking up next. Look at me, little pun there. What's next? Like, I think something that at least is really exciting for me, I'm sure is really exciting for you guys, is the partnerships you have with these amazing Asian chefs and these like types of partnerships you guys do. So talk to us about like something that's fun coming up that you guys get to do.
Do you want me to do it? This is always like, whenever we're on conversations together, we're like, oh, the other one's going to.
Yeah.
I could talk a little bit about our taste makers and the kind of the partnerships. So yeah, I mean, I think something that's kind of crux to our model and really was developed like since day one is this, our taste makers. So basically Vanessa and I were like, okay, if we're going to start a Proud and Loud Asian food brand, we need to make sure we have folks of these backgrounds involved every step of the way, because yes, we're Vietnamese, but we can't tell people how to eat Korean food. Right. And so for every cuisine that we build a product in, we partner with a chef of that background. They're iconic. They have restaurant empires, James Beard nominated cookbooks. They have shows. They're really kind of pushing forward the boundary of what it means to eat Filipino American or Japanese American, Korean American. And so, yeah, they're incredible. We've worked with some of the best chefs in this country. And then we actually had the amazing opportunity to work with Pepper Teagan, Chrissy Teigen's mom, earlier this year on a Thai starter. And so, yeah, that's our model. And it's really important to us that, you know, these folks are involved every step of the way and are compensated equitably. They're actually paid a royalty fee, whereas most CPG brands, I think, would just kind of pay, you know, the one-time straightforward engagement fee. But, you know, we firmly believe that rising tides raise all boats. And so, you know, if we do well, we want them to also do well. That's kind of how we've been developing our new starter. So be on the lookout probably sometime next year for another awesome kind of like collab. But in terms of how we're thinking about the next kind of quarter or two, it's really about just making Om Sam more accessible to folks. So I think, you know, Vanessa and I are thinking about, what does Om Sam look like in store and in brick and mortar shelves? And so that's been really kind of a fun new learning for us, as we've just historically just been largely D2C. So yeah, just really thinking about retail creatively.
Sorry, Looney, my dog is going off. She's the third co-host of OK Says. She's cheering for you. Can I just do a real quick rapid fire question?
Oh, sure.
D2C or retail?
Like in general?
Like what pops into your head? Like what pops into your head first? Because I feel like it's always this conversation, which one, both, what should you start? So just like gut reaction, yeah. Like if someone's thinking of starting a product, D2C, retail.
I have a longer answer. D2C, can I say D2C to start? D2C to start, to build your brand, to tell your story, and to have the real estate of a website to do that. And then quickly omnichannel and retail to scale that baby.
I was going to say, I think, I mean, obviously D2C, you have so much more control over the story and what you're offering. That being said, there's so many, I can just think of in LA, just so, and you guys are in them. So there's that. There's so many amazing, these boutique retailers that are giving, you know, shelf space to incredible brands like yourselves. And so there is this kind of general story that you can also insert yourself in. So that's super exciting. I mean, there's so much opportunity, and it's, I'm just so excited for you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm just like really obsessed with you. So there's that.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Oh, let's ask our last question, Scout.
Okay. So we ask all the women who come on OK Sis this, if you could brag about one thing and don't be humble, what would you brag about?
About Om Sam, about us, about live.
Anything.
Ooh, I can start. I know Vanessa probably has like a beautiful philosophical weighty answer. She's really good at this sort of stuff. I would like to express that I'm really proud of myself for stepping into my truth in the past like 2 years. I underwent kind of like a personal reckoning in my like mid to late 20s. And since that period, I've learned a lot about myself. And it took a lot of courage and self-introspection and desire to create that has led me to living truly out loud. That feels like the most represented through like my website and through my Instagram of like the things that I care about, the missions that I rise, that I ride for, particularly, yeah, sex positivity, BDSM as a vehicle for human understanding, my bisexuality, and like unlearning a lot of internalized biphobia, largely driven by a very patriarchal society, and just fully living as me out loud feels like such a hard-earned battle. Because for so much of my life, I felt othered. I felt deep and immense shame for parts of me. And I'm really grateful that, and it, you know, so happens to coincide with Amsam. No, Amsam definitely kind of created the environment for it. But it just so happened that a lot of this journey happened alongside starting this business with Vanessa. And I'm just, yeah, I'm grateful for me doing that.
Oh my God. Okay, before Vanessa, you go, I just want to say, I love that, and I resonate with that so much, that our brands and the companies we're building are vehicles for us to step into our full authentic selves. I mean, completely with even building OK Sis, I would have been so shameful to fully express myself on the internet. And even, you know, we're pushing boundaries over here sometimes, but it's so true that we're building these amazing brands and companies that allow us, and like, how fucking rad is that? Like, wow. Oh, I love that. Okay, Vanessa.
That was a really beautiful philosophical answer. So I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's related in some way, but I'm really proud of the willingness that I've shown to uncover the bullshit, the ugly things, or the things that aren't serving me, and confront them and work through them. I have a lot of things that I want to work on as a person, as a founder, as a partner, as one of the biggest ones, as a daughter, right? And I feel like in these past couple of years, I've had to unearth a lot of them on a very expedited timeline because of the founder journey, like forcing me to confront a lot of these things. And it's exhausting and it's hard to see things within yourself. And I think a lot of people just play this game running away from them for their whole lifetime. But I am really proud of myself for seeing these things and then also dealing with the shame that comes with seeing them in their entirety. And choosing to accept myself, extend kindness and compassion for myself on all the areas where I was in a certain way, or I wish intergenerational trauma didn't manifest in the ways that it does in my life, and talk about them, like bring them to the light with people I trust and love so that I can move through them and be more of the person that I want to be.
Two women after our own hearts. These, I mean, oh my God, this is like the type of, this is the new form of entrepreneurship. Like, this is what it is. Understanding and acknowledging that our businesses ask of us to be our highest self, to be the next version of ourselves, to heal our wounds, our insecurities, our shadows, our traumas, etc., so that we can not only express ourselves fully, but that our business and the ecosystem that it creates, which hopefully in all of our, you know, in all of our situation, it is doing good, can be fully expressed and make some impact in the world. So thank you, ladies, so much. Please let everybody know where they can find you guys.
Oh yeah. So you can find us at omsom.com. And on Instagram at Amsam, on TikTok at We Are Amsam.
I was gonna say the TikTok follow is the way to go. Okay.
We're doing a lot of fun, somewhat like ratchet stuff there. It's a lot of fun. I love TikTok as a platform. And then also you can use the coupon code OKSIS10 for 10% off all products on our website. So yeah, get to it.
Sisters, run, don't fucking walk to that one. We'll link that in the show notes. Okay, thank you so much for coming on. And sisters, you know where to find us at OK Sis Podcast. Love you.
Love you, sisters.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the Mom Well Podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more, to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.